Oh, Heavenly Father, we do just want to thank you for this day. God, I want to thank you for the beautiful sunshine today. Even though the temps are cold, the sun is nice, and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of your creation, which continues to speak to us when we slow down and listen a little bit. Father, we also thank you so much for your word, which very clearly speaks to us. And Father, will you just ask now this morning that your word would speak to us, that you, Holy Spirit, would just be moving in and around us today, God. Father, we pray that through today we would be more motivated, ready, willing to share your incredible good news, God, with people this year. So, Father, we're just going to lift that up to you. I'm really going to ask you, Father, to be working and to be moving, because only you, God, can change a heart. So we pray that our hearts would be soft, Lord, that our hearts would be pliable, that we would be prepared, God, for whatever you may have for us today. And again, we just want to say thank you. Be with the youth, God, up at Storybook. We just pray that you would, as you have done, that you would continue, Father, to do a work up there in the lives and the hearts of those students and in the adults who are up there as well, God. We just know that the students in the church, they're our future, Father. And so we just pray that you would be continuing to just build wonderful young disciples of you, Jesus. So we lift them up to you. Do a good work this weekend in them. So Father, we just give you this whole day. I'm so thankful for it. Be with us now, God, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, so this final basic is to share our faith. And this is how we've worded it. Our basic for this year, in light of sharing the gospel, is to share the gospel boldly and clearly with one person in 2013. Now, that doesn't sound too overwhelming, but the reality is when the rubber meets the road, it's kind of hard to share the gospel. It's not the easiest thing. We get a little nervous and we get a little afraid. We get a little human, okay, in sharing the gospel. So we didn't set a goal of sharing it with 20 different people. We didn't do 10. We didn't do 5. Our goal is one. Because I believe if we have a good experience sharing the gospel with one person, then that will be something that will spur us on to share it more often even in the future. So our prayer and our goal for 2013 is one. Here's the twist on that basic. The twist is this, and we introduced this last week. We want to begin to pray for each other to have an open door to share the gospel. You know, we've talked about this many times. We pray passionately for the people in our lives who don't know Jesus. We pray for unbelievers. We pray for those who we think they don't know Christ yet. And I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be praying for those folks. But what Paul did in both the Ephesians verse and the Colossians verse is he said, will you pray for me? He was asking the church to pray for him, that he would be bold, that he would be clear, and that God would open up a door for him. And so I think many times that's where we miss it. We don't pray often enough for each other. And so that's the twist. We are going to be praying for each other. So if you have your bulletin, inside your bulletin there is a small little card, and this is sort of the, I think we have a picture of it. There it is, and this is our prayer partner card. Now, again, we want everybody engaging in this thing. What you do is this is going to be a person that you are going to be praying for in those areas, and we'll talk about those areas in a little bit, what we're praying specifically for, but that you can have an opportunity to share the gospel, and you will be praying for them, and they will be praying for you, and you have two options in this. Number one, of course, you put your name on the top. If you have a prayer partner, just check that top one. You don't need to put anything else if you have a prayer partner. Now, what we're asking, though, is that this isn't your normal prayer partner. This isn't somebody you are regularly praying for and they're regularly praying for you. This is a new challenge, and so we want a new prayer partner. The other thing is we'd encourage you not to have it be somebody in your immediate family. I know that's inside your comfort zone, but we want to get outside that comfort zone just a little bit. So if you don't have anybody, and like me, I filled out this last week, and I put, I need a prayer partner. Because then I'm going to get put into this big pot, and then as staff, we're going to start lining people up with prayer partners. Okay, so then if you fill out, I need a prayer partner, then on the bottom, put your phone number and your email address. Now, we got a lot of these in last week. I hope we get a lot more of these this week. Again, what we're looking for is all of us to engage in this. Because if we're going to share the gospel with one person, we're going to probably need some prayer support on that. And that's what Paul was looking for, okay? So then now, once in the next few weeks, we're going to be putting all this together and we're going to be getting all these people lined up. And then after we do that, you're going to get a card like this. Now, this is going to be your reminder card. Okay, and so what you're going to do is you're going to have this little card, and you can use it as a bookmark in your Bible. You can put it on your refrigerator, wherever you'll look most often. Men, put it on your refrigerator, okay, because we know you like to go in there and get food in the middle of the night. So put it on your refrigerator, and then this is, you write in, my prayer partner is, you write in their name, and then here's the three things we're going to seek to pray for daily for our prayer partner: clarity in the gospel, boldness in the gospel, and open doors. Okay, so you'll have this once we set up all of these kind of partnerships. You'll have this little bookmark as a reminder. And again, I just really want to encourage you. You know, these three challenges, reading through God's word, we had 240 or 250 people. Praying for the saints, 170 people. The gospel, I don't know what this number is going to be, but I think it's going to be less than 170. I hope it's not. But please hear me on this. These three challenges will, each one consecutively, will take less time to accomplish. The one that's going to take the most time is the Bible reading. That's going to take the most time. Second to most time is going to be praying for the saints. Sharing the gospel with one person and praying for your prayer partner will take the least amount of time of all of those. But I also believe that every one of these in consecutive order will get more difficult to accomplish. It will be more and more challenging because we are getting pushed more and more outside of where we are naturally comfortable. See, you can read the Bible in the comfort of your own home. You can pray for the saints in the comfort of your own home. But if you are going to engage in this challenge, you are going to need to step outside of that and say, I'm willing to share the gospel with somebody at my work, somebody in my family, somebody at my school, somebody in my neighborhood, somebody that I'm on an online chat deal with. That takes us outside. And so I know this one takes the most courage, but I really want to encourage you, take that step, fill out that card, face the fear, and get engaged in sharing the gospel. All right, so what are we going to do this morning? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to review those three areas, okay? Clarity, boldness, and open doors. But then what we're going to do, and this is kind of the neat part, I think, of this morning, is we're going to share some, I'm going to share a few testimonies with you. Because in the last month or so, I've received either some emails or people have talked to me about how they've already begun to get some of this clarity, boldness, and open doors, and walking through those open doors. And so what I'm going to do is kind of throughout, I'm just going to share a few of stories that's kind of happened here at Bayside over the last month or so, some really good news stories. So let's take a look at those three areas, okay? Let's start with clarity, gospel clarity. What does clarity look like? I think the verse that describes clarity by far the easiest in all of Scripture is John 3:16. Let's say this together, okay? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, the heart of the gospel is wrapped up in John 3:16, and as we talked about, it is just bathed in God's love. I hope you know this morning that God loves you with a love that he was willing to sacrifice for. That his love was sacrificial. I mean, how many people on this earth have a love for you that is truly sacrificial and that would give their very life for you? I'd say very few. Very few people would sacrifice like that. But God not only sacrificed his own life, he gave his very Son, which is even one step more difficult than giving your own life. God loves you and he loves me with a love that is never ending, that is sacrificial, that is deep and true. And that incredible love for us gave his Son. It says, whoever believes in him. What does the word believe mean? That word believe at its heart means to have faith in, to trust in, or to rely upon. So what the gospel is that God loved us so much that he gave his very Son. And he did that because we're all sinners in need of a Savior. Romans 3 tells us that. That we all have sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all been in need of a Savior. Any sinners out there in need of a Savior? Okay, what's the rest of you? How many sinners out there in need of a Savior? Okay, and my hand is up high. That's where we are. We are sinners in need of a Savior, and God loved us so much He sent His Son. And the Bible said is if you simply trust in that, if you rely upon the fact that when Jesus died, He took your sin upon Himself, Bible says you'll have eternal life. You will be with God forever and ever, and you can be assured of that, and you can be confident of that. At 1 John 5 tells us that we can know that we have eternal life. We can be confident that we will be with God. There's no worrying. We have incredible security in that. But we talked about the clear message of the gospel, like we just shared, can get fuzzy. It can get lost. And the clear message can get lost in the method of receiving the gospel. We talked about some gospel additives, things that we add to the gospel that are really not the gospel, things that are culturally popular in the Christian culture. Things that we say, phrases that we use, things that we tell people they must do to be saved. First gospel additive we talked about was asking Jesus into my heart. We use this with kids. What do you do to be saved? Oh, ask Jesus into your heart. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us to ask Jesus into our heart. It doesn't say that. There's nowhere. Now, we know clearly from Ephesians 3:17, it says that through faith, Christ will dwell in our hearts. But nowhere does it tell us to ask Him. That's something that we've said you must do to be saved. It's a gospel additive. It's not the real gospel. The real gospel is you trust, you believe, you rely upon the fact that Jesus did what He did. Second gospel additive, this one's the most popular, it's the sinner's prayer. What do you need to do to be saved? Repeat after me. Repeat this prayer. Say these words in this way. The unfortunate thing is there's nowhere in Scripture that tells us that a prayer will save us. Nowhere in Scripture. It's not in here. It doesn't say that a prayer can, will, or ever has saved anyone. Now, again, we talked about biblical confession and biblical repentance. If you want to go back, you can listen to that message. But a sinner's prayer can't save us because there's no prayer in Scripture that can save us. Are there people who get saved when they say that sinner's prayer? Yes, but the prayer didn't save them. Their faith did. They trusted in Jesus at that time. But we have to be careful if we use that because it can be an additive, something we add to the gospel that can muddy the waters. Third thing, and I think this wraps up pretty much everything else, anything that I can do to save myself. If there is anything, anything that anyone tells you they can do or you need to do to be saved, it's a gospel additive. Because the reality is, whether it is baptism, reading the Bible, coming forward at an altar call, praying, giving money, or going to church, all good things, but they don't save us. They can't save us. We can't do anything to be saved. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 very clearly tells us that. So anytime I make anything that I can do a requirement, it's been a gospel additive. I want to read the first testimony that I received. Over the past few years, my spiritual life has been in a severe drought. I have had no desire to read the Bible and have felt very distant from God. Prayer time has been a struggle because I just haven't been sure that anyone is listening. I would console myself that God surely heard me, but I wasn't so sure. My life has been taking many blows that ended up affecting my spiritual life and my relationship with God, and it all just seemed to be too much. Where is God? Was I saved? Did He care? God wasn't even there, was He? The feeling of God's absence was terrible for me and weighed heavily on my heart. What did I believe in? What was the purpose of my life anyway? Just to be stressed out, overwhelmed, and struggling all the time? I had been praying that if God was real, that He would somehow revive me in a belief and a faith in Him that was real. But I prayed and prayed, and still nothing seemed to happen. Then a few weeks ago, I heard your sermon that talked about biblical additives. Somehow, that is just what I needed to hear. I always knew that you had to ask Jesus into your heart. They taught us that, right? I also knew that you had to correctly recite the sinner's prayer or you weren't going to heaven. Had I done it correctly? I bet I hadn't. That must be the problem. Realizing that the basis of salvation is faith and not anything that I do correctly was life-changing. I believe that Jesus is who He says He is and that He died on the cross for me because I have fallen short. I felt a huge sense of relief wash over me, and I finally knew that I was okay with God. Since then, I have felt more joy and more peace in spite of the storms. I even want to read my Bible now. So God did hear me. And then she writes, "Whew, Wendy." You see, gospel clarity changes lives. The power that we have is not in our persuasive speech. The power is in the clear gospel. The clear and true and unadulterated gospel is what changes and what makes us have the ability to know that we're okay with God. We can be at peace with Him. When we add things to that, we muddy the clear waters of salvation. So we're going to be praying for each other this year for clarity. Clarity in the gospel. Second thing we're going to be praying for is boldness. We will also be praying for boldness when we share the gospel. What does it mean to be bold? Here's bold. To be confident, to be assured, to be candid, to be direct, or to be outspoken. That is what biblical boldness is. We want to be that when we share the gospel. Now, sometimes you think of sharing the gospel and you think of boldness and you might have a negative impression. Well, according to this, boldness is not obnoxious. Boldness is not annoying. Praise the Lord. Boldness is not loud or bothersome. That is not what it means to be bold. It is confidence. It's assuredness. It's candidness, directness, and outspoken. But we speak the truth in the package of love, always. So, we want to be bold. What are the common boldness blockers? We talked about this. Four things that commonly block our boldness. Number one, most common, is fear. This is the most popular thing that will stop you or will stop me from sharing the gospel. Being afraid of something. What has Mark gotten afraid of in his life? Rejection. I have been afraid that if I share the gospel, they may reject me and that relationship may end. Is that a reality? Yes, that is a reality. That may happen. I can't sit here and tell you that that will never happen. That may happen. Is it worth it? Yes. Because their eternal destination can depend upon the gospel. Ridicule. Ridicule can block us, can stop us based in fear. We get afraid that we will be ridiculed either by a person or by a whole group. I know a lot of us get afraid, and I've been afraid at times, that I wouldn't have the right words. I get afraid I'm not going to share correctly. I'm going to spiritually mess them up. Okay? Here's the good news. God's bigger than your or my words. Okay, share what you know, and that will probably be enough. If you've received the gospel, you at least know what Jesus did for you. And that is enough. And if you don't know, you can always go back to God's word and say, "You know what, I don't know, but you know what, I'll get back to you on that." Super fair answer. Then we get afraid of being embarrassed. Can't help you on that one. That may just happen, okay? What are the next three boldness blockers? The second one is our enemy. Our enemy certainly doesn't want us to share the gospel because the gospel brings life and he is death. That's all he is about. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's who he is. Gospel brings life. Our enemy will try to block us from sharing the gospel. Whisper things in our ear. You know, when God opens up a door, maybe your heart's like mine and starts doing this. Does your heart ever do that when you know it's time to share something? Yeah, mine does. Mine does this. Okay, and then the enemy will say, "Don't share. Don't do that. You know how embarrassed you're going to be? Don't talk about that. We don't go there with that person. That's not appropriate in this setting. You can't share. You don't know." He's going to try to get you to not share a boldness. He's not going to want you to be bold because the gospel brings life. So our enemy. Third thing is our culture. Our culture is moving away from the gospel. A godless culture always will. It will always become more dark, not more light. And when we bring the gospel, the Bible tells us the gospel exposes the darkness. Darkness doesn't like light. So understand that our culture will not want us to share the gospel. Fourth thing, of course, is our flesh. Our flesh always seeks to please ourselves. Now, if we're honest, many times sharing the gospel is getting us out of our comfort zone. Doesn't sharing the gospel get you out of your comfort zone? Yeah, your flesh never wants that. Your flesh and my flesh love the comfort zone. It'd like to live forever in the comfort zone. Sharing the gospel moves outside of the comfort zone, so our flesh can stop us from being bold. Second testimony. I've shared the story of my car crash with many people, but since attending Bayside, especially in the last weeks of the basics, it has been made more real how much Jesus played a part in my second chance to live life on earth. I may have lost many things in my life, but I have gained so much more. And for that, I am extremely grateful and thankful. The week when you talked about being bold and clear, I typed up a letter to my dad, apologizing for not being the best child, explaining the passage of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and how we are saved by grace, not by anything we can do. And I invited my dad to come to church on Easter. I thank the Lord so much for the way that the Bible is presented here. I believe that God saved me from my car crash so I could be transformed and made aware of His great, amazing power, so that I had more time on earth to accept Jesus as my Savior and share the good news of Him dying for my sins. I am now more confident to include Jesus when sharing the story of my car crash, and I state it more clearly. There is no medical reason for my survival. I was completely in a coma. I required 22 units of blood after my crash, one less than a human body even holds. God saved me so that I could be transformed and made aware of Jesus, my need for a Savior. I did not deserve to be saved, but He saved me. Love, Rita. The reality is, if we're going to be clear with the gospel, and we're going to be bold with the gospel, we're going to need each other to do that. We're going to need to be praying for each other, because those boldness blockers are real. They are real. That's why we're engaging in this challenge. So we're going to pray for clarity. We're going to pray for boldness. Third thing we're going to pray for is open doors. We're going to be praying that God must open the doors. You know, one of the things when we get excited about this is we can have a tendency to want to kick open our own doors. But there is nothing like when God opens a door for the gospel and all you simply have to do is walk through it. And that's what we're going to be praying for, is God opening up these doors. Let's read Colossians 4:3. We read this earlier. At the same time, Paul says, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word. See, God opens the doors. We don't have to force them. We don't have to kick them. We don't have to make them happen. God will open up doors in our life when we're wanting to share, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Okay, so we talked about how we can prepare for open doors. Four questions we must ask ourselves as preparing for these open doors. Number one, this is the gut check time. Am I willing to share the gospel? We all have to answer that question. Am I willing? Should God open a door, am I at a minimum willing? I'm not saying I'm excited. I'm not saying I feel ready. I'm not saying that I'm totally stoked up for doing this, but am I willing? Am I willing? I think we all have to just ask ourselves that question. Really, if God opened up a door for the word for you, would you walk through that door? Would I? Am I willing to share the gospel? Second question, am I abiding in the vine of Jesus? We know very clearly from John 15:5 that if there's any real fruit that's going to be born through my life, anything that is going to change eternity, if there's anything that God wants to do through me, it is because I am connecting to Jesus. So am I abiding? Am I proactively seeking to connect to Jesus in my life? Because fruit happens, fruit flows when I abide. Second question is, am I abiding? Question number three, am I building relationships? Am I in a place where I'm even having relationships with people who think differently than I do? Am I building relationships, whether that's in my work, at my school, in my family, in my neighborhood, wherever it is, am I building relationships, engaging with people who don't know Jesus, as far as I know? Jesus was a community guy. He got out and built relationships with people. It's what he did. So are we building relationships? Number four, this is the toughest for us many times, am I selflessly seeing others? You see, our worlds, and I'm no different than you, our worlds revolve and wrap ourselves around us. We have our plans, we have our thoughts, we have our ways, we have our things, we have our people, we have our agendas, we have our jobs, we have our families. It's all wrapped about me. But to be an ambassador of Jesus, I must think about you. I must get my mind off of me so that I can think about you. So am I really seeing people? I love this quote. I must know myself, like myself, and be myself so I can forget about myself and focus on others. I must know, like, and be me. I must know who I am in Christ. If you've accepted Jesus, then you're an ambassador. If you've accepted Christ, then he's made you one of his ambassadors to bring this good news to other people. That's who you are. You're a child accepted. You're secure. You can know that you have eternal life, and you're an ambassador. You can be very, very comfortable and confident in who you are in Jesus, and you're an ambassador. You must know yourself. You might be a doctor, and you're an ambassador. You might be somebody that works at a retail store, and you're an ambassador. You might be a student, and you're an ambassador. You might be retired, and you're an ambassador. You might be a nurse, and you getting the picture? See, you must know who you are. We are ambassadors for Jesus. That's who we are. That's who he has created us to be. Then the Bible says, or then the quote says, you must like yourself. Doesn't say you have to like yourself, but you got to be okay with who God made you. You know, many of us deal with the fact that we don't like ourselves. We wish we were something else. You know, God made me this way, but I wish I was this way. There's things I wished about myself. I wished my hands were a little bit bigger, that I could play basketball a little bit better. But he made me with these short fingers. Okay, I got to like, now that's a stupid little thing, but you have to like yourself. You have to be okay with who God made you. Personality and look, all of that stuff. Just be okay with who you are. And then it says you got to be yourself. So don't try to put on some facade that you're something that you aren't. Just be you. God made you to be you. You don't have to try to fit into somebody else's mold. I got to know myself, like myself, and be myself. And this is the key, so I can forget about myself. So I can forget about me and focus on other people. All right, so open doors. What do these open doors look like? Very quickly, three times when I've seen open doors. Number one, when people are having some struggles. People's problems are open doors. When we are having struggles, it is an open door for the gospel, no matter what that struggle may look like. You know this as well as I do. You've lived this. When you are at your lowest, you are many times most receptive to connecting to Jesus because you need something at that point. You need something more than what you have, so you want to connect. People's struggles are a time when there's an open door. Second time we have an open door is when a discussion is spiritual, and any discussion that is spiritual. If you hear some people and they're sitting around talking about Wiccan, consider that an open door. When you hear Allah mentioned, consider that an open door. You don't have to hear the word Jesus or God or the Bible to be an open door. Those conversations that are spiritual are open doors for you to bring the truth of Jesus into that discussion. We don't have to get afraid of spiritual discussions that may not be revolving at the time around Jesus. Third time there's an open door is any positive comment on your life or your lifestyle. If somebody makes a positive comment on your attitude, that's an open door to say, man, I'll tell you what, this is the way my attitude is some of the times, but thanks be to God, he's been helping me with some attitude adjustment. Or when somebody says, how can you forgive that person? Don't you want to get revenge? You know what, I would, but God forgave me. And so how can I hold back on forgiveness when God has forgiven me of all my sin? Any positive comment on your life or lifestyle is an open door. Okay, so how do we walk through these open doors? Two ways. Number one, walk through an open door by sharing the gospel. That's pretty obvious, right? If you have an opportunity to share the clear gospel of what Jesus did, just share it. Take that step of faith. Take that courageous step and just share what Jesus did. If you don't have an opportunity to share the whole gospel, second thing you can do is put J in the box. J in the box. We talked about this. This is putting Jesus into the box of what is an appropriate thing to talk about in any given relationship. I think we got a picture. Okay, there's our box. Every relationship has a box, and we say, these are the things we do talk about, family, sports, weather, kids, and work. These are the things we don't talk about. Well, the sooner you get Jesus into that box of what is appropriate to talk about, the easier time you will have over time to keep Jesus in your conversation circle with that person. So get J in the box. How do we put J in the box? Three ways we put J in the box. Number one is questions. We're going to go through these quick because I talked about these before. What are some great questions? First of all, what do you believe? Very open-ended, very non-threatening. Just tell me what you believe. What do you believe? What do you believe about God? Do you believe in an afterlife? What do you think? Is there anything else after this whole thing is done? Fair question. Second question is, do you go to church? Very reasonable question. Are you a spiritual person? A lot of people like to consider themselves spiritual people. That's a good thing, okay? Are you a spiritual person? What does that mean? What does that look like for you? You can say, can I pray with you? If somebody's going through a tough time, just ask them, can I pray with you? I've used this one so often with people that I'm convinced they don't know Jesus. Most people will accept prayer when they're really hurting. They just will. So you can ask questions. Second thing you can do is you can have some testimonies. You can talk about some good things that God has done in your life. Some testimonies. First of all, I just have to thank God for whatever it is. Fill in the blank. Whatever you're thankful for today, there should be something you're thankful for. That can be a testimony. It's just a way to get Jesus into the box. I just thank God for it. Or here's what God did in my life. You know, if God has helped you through a situation, talk about that. That's a testimony. Talk about what God did for you in your life. If there's something about being a Christian that you really like, tell people that. I just love God's word. I just love God's word. I love it so much. I love being able to go to this and find truth. I just love going to church. I just love talking to God. Whatever you like or appreciate or love about the faith, tell people that. That's not offensive. You're just telling them what you love about your faith. Okay? Fourth thing you can say is, I don't know how I'd get through this without Jesus. You know, I mean, I look around this room, and I know many of you have had some pretty deep struggles in your life. I know you had. You've had some hardships. You've had some things that haven't went your way. I know that. I can look into your eyes and see that. And I've had the same thing. When you say, I don't know how I would get through this without Jesus, that's a testimony. Because everybody has hard things. They have hard situations. And our hard situations, you don't have to say, pretend like they're easy. You don't have to act like they don't hurt or somehow it's just smooth sailing. You know, being a Christian is not about smooth sailing. It's about saying, I don't know how I'd be getting through this if it wasn't for Jesus. That's a testimony. Third way you can put Jesus in the box is you can have certain tools. Have some tools. What are some tools that you can use? Number one, invite them to church. Easter's a great time. We have these invitations, and you can use these just to invite somebody to church. If you don't know if you can share the gospel yet with somebody, bring them to church. We'll share the gospel with them. We'll tell them the truth, okay? Second thing you can do is give them a Bible. Whatever that looks like, have an extra Bible around so you can just give it to somebody when they're hurting. Third thing, give them some good Christian literature. This could be a book, a pamphlet, a CD, a tract. Fourth thing, give them our John 3:16 CD. If you haven't grabbed one of those yet, they're back on the table just outside and to the left. Grab one of those CDs. It's a very casual, conversational explanation of John 3:16. Really easy to give away. I want to read another testimony to you. A couple of weeks ago, someone wrote to me, a family friend needed to go to the hospital to look at a bad knee that they had from a fall, as well as some other issues they were having. At the hospital, they did a CT scan, and they found a spot on her kidney. As we waited for the doctor, we started to talk, and she said she didn't understand why all of this was happening to her. While we were waiting, we talked about how God's ways are so much different than our ways. She told me she did not understand how God could allow his son to go through what he went through. I told her that maybe all this was happening and it wasn't just about the spot on her kidney, but God maybe wanted to answer some of the deeper questions that she had. We all needed to be restored in our relationship with God, a relationship that was broken by sin. All of us have sinned and all of us need to be restored. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, which was death by his death. Admitting our sinfulness and faith in that death is what, and what was accomplished is all that's required. They write, I didn't have a Bible, but God knew that I didn't need one, for he gave me the words by his Holy Spirit. The doctor came back and said the spot was cancer, but it was contained, and now it could be watched regularly. I told her that without any of these other things that were happening, the spot would never have been discovered. God is good. I didn't have the burden of needing to save this person, but I took the opportunity of sharing the gospel. This was pretty awesome as it was the day after you preached the message on sharing your faith. Thanks again, Mark. See, open doors will happen. God will continue to open doors when we are ready and willing to walk through those open doors. I want to close with a verse, 1 Peter 3:15. I love this verse in light of sharing the gospel. It's such a beautiful verse, and this would even be a verse maybe to memorize or to type up somewhere or to put somewhere to remember. This is who we are. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you yet do it with gentleness and respect. You know, that's the heart of sharing the gospel, because God is holy, and Jesus was holy, and he took our place, and he died for us, and he gave us an eternal hope. So the question, as we close this series, what are we going to do? Are we going to share the gospel in 2013? Are we going to take advantage of the open doors? Are we going to pray for boldness? Are we going to pray for clarity? Are we willing? Are we willing to share? At the end of the day, if God were to open up a door, would we walk through it? Will we have beautiful feet? You know, over these last few weeks, Pastor Thomas and myself, we've given you the tools. We've given you the scriptures. We've given you a lot of practical ideas and ways to just bring Jesus into your relationships so that you can share your faith with somebody in 2013. Will you do it? Will I do it? Do you want to do it? We're going to watch a video. This is a 17-year-old gal from Bayside, and you know, she's 17 years old going to Superior Senior High School. And for those of you who are over 17, and I think that's a couple of you, remember back when you were in high school. Remember what that would have been like for you to share your faith in high school. Remember the boldness that and the courage that that would have taken in high school. And I think this 17-year-old young student is setting an example for us. I think she's giving us an example, and Paul encouraged Timothy to do that. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers. And I think this 17-year-old gal, this is Fallon McCotter, and she's going to just share a little, just a short bit of her story of as she has begun to walk through some open doors. Let's watch that video.
Prior to a couple weeks ago, I hadn't been having a lot of opportunities to share about Christ, but once I started praying for open doors like Mark has been talking about, I just got like a crazy amount of opportunities to share my faith. And with like friends that I had been good friends with for a long time and not mentioned Jesus, and with my coworkers, and also with whoever just happened to hear me, and it was just a really natural way to talk about it, and it just proves that if you pray for something and ask God for something, he'll give it to you.
Since she started praying, God, will you open doors? God began to open a crazy amount of doors. See, I think what he saw a heart that was willing, that wanted to actually be an ambassador. You know, that's the gut check time. That's where the rubber meets the road. Are we willing? God will open the doors. That's his deal. We don't have to wonder whether he will answer this prayer. This is not one of those that we really have to question. Boy, God, is this a part of your will? This is directly inside of his will because it is who we are. We don't have to ask whether or not God wants us to share with someone in 2013. The gut check time is, am I willing? Am I going to pray and sincerely ask God, God, will you open doors? And then will you give me the boldness to walk through those doors? And then will you give me the clarity in the gospel? Because it's the gospel that changes lives. Boats are very safe in the harbor, but they're meant to sail. Baby eagles are very content in their nest, but they're meant to fly. Cars look very nice and clean, shining in the garage, but they're meant to drive. Christians can be very comfortable in church, surrounded by other Christians, but we've been remade to go and share the good news of Jesus. You see, we can be very comfortable, we can be very neat and clean, we can be very content sitting here and coming on Sundays and listening to messages and singing and having fellowship, and I think those are all good things. But we have to understand at our core, we are ambassadors for Jesus. We are about bringing the good news to a lost world because someone did that for us. None of us were born saved. Someone was willing to get out of their comfort zone and share. So let's do the same. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you saved us. Lord, that it is nothing that we have done or could do to ever save ourselves. Lord God, we are incapable of redeeming ourselves. We were lost. We were hopeless. We were blind. And yet, God, you saved us. At just the right time, you sent your Son. And he took our place. And Jesus, we praise you for being willing to come to this earth as a man. We praise you for that. We thank you for the good news of our salvation. And Father, just like you sent Jesus out of his comfort zone, now Jesus, you are sending us out of our comfort zones. You're sending us into a lost world where people need to hear. And Father, many times they will hear through our mouths and through our words and through our testimonies. Father, I pray that we would all honestly answer that question, am I willing? And God, if we're not willing, if we answer that honestly and the answer is no, then God, help us to just come to you with that and do some business with you. And because God, you'll meet us there too. You just want us to be honest and real. And Father, if we are willing, then I want to pray right now that for all of us here at Bayside, that you would begin to open doors for the gospel. That we don't feel like we have to be obnoxious or loud or rude, but God, that we can be real. We can share what you did. Help us to face our fear, to have that courage. And in 2013, God, I pray that every one of us would have an opportunity to share the gospel with boldness and with clarity. Thank you for saving us. We love you. Thanks for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen.